This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Ivy Hilliard.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Then he went to a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? They began, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Teaching from the subject, Mastering the Storms of Life. And we said that the purpose of this series is not to magnify problems, but to create in believers the mentality of overcoming problems. We've established that in this life, you will have challenging situations. You'll have problems. You'll have storms. But it is the will of God for you to overcome every challenge, every problem, and every situation. That's the will of God. And so we began to teach on this several weeks ago because it is important for you to understand now, even if you're not in the midst of a storm, what to do when a storm comes in your life. And then there are those who may be in the midst of a storm now. You need to know how to get out of it. Amen. And so we understand that in this particular situation where the storm came, Jesus had to get up and he rebuked the storm. But the lesson here, he was trying to teach the disciples that they had the power and they had the wherewithal to handle their storms themselves. That's important, that every believer understands that God has equipped you to handle the difficult situations that you will face in this life. Now, turn with me in your Bibles now to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. So we dispel the myth that if you're Christian, you won't have problems. That's not true. We do have a commitment that God will deliver us out of every situation. We do have that commitment. All right, now, Luke chapter 6, and there in verse 48, it says, verse 47, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. We said that the success of you making it through the storms of life is not some formula, but it's what your life is founded on. If your life is founded, rooted, grounded in the truth of God's word, then you will have the discipline to stand and work the word in the midst of the storm. So we did not immediately rush and give you 12 steps or 10 steps to do when you're in a storm, because if you are not rooted properly, then you won't have the discipline, the faith, or the wherewithal to work, the word, the steps, the procedures that you'll need to work. So we spent quite some time talking about how to renew your mind, because we're highly developed when we come into the kingdom of God. We're highly developed in this world's system, this world's way of thinking. But if I'm going to get through the storms of life with the supernatural help of God, I have to know how to tap into the power of God. And that goes beyond human reasoning. So we spent time talking about how to renew our minds, as renewing our minds is important. And we said that meditation is the plan of God to help accelerate the renewing of the mind. Psalms 1, turn there quickly. And one of the parts of meditation, we said meditation has four components: verbalization, visualization, internalization, and repetition. And so we began to talk about the power of repetition in order to get the word rooted on the inside of you. That is why, as a pastor, I teach the word. I'm repetitious in my teaching, because that is how learning takes place. God has designed us that when we hear things on a repetitious basis, it makes an indelible imprint on the inside of us. It causes us to change. And so Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate. And here's the repetition. How often? Day and night. So it's on a repetitious basis. And what's going to happen? And he shall be like a tree. Transformation takes place. Where there's repetition, transformation takes place. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And watch this. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Now, so we said that there are four truths that you have to be rooted in if you're going to have a victorious mentality. Four truths that you have to be rooted in if you're going to have a victorious mentality. Number one, we said, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know who you are. You're now a born-again believer. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You are a born-again believer. And that entitles you to certain advantages in the earth that unbelievers don't have. You have an entitlement to certain advantages and favor in the earth that unbelievers don't have. All right, verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Our faith. So it separates, it puts the born again believer in another category. Well, Pastor, how do I get born again? Very easy. You do not have to clean your life up to come to God. You come to God just like you are. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you can be saved. And today, we'll give people the opportunity to come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, if you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that you're right with God, you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure, that if I died, I'd go to heaven. We're going to give you an opportunity today to get over into this elite category that 1 John 5:4 talks about. The ones who can overcome the world. Whatsoever is born of God, when you're born of the Spirit of God, you have the capability now of handling the storms of life. All right? So we said, number one, I need to know who I am in Christ. Number two, I have to be settling on the faithfulness of God and his word. And his word. The faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of his word. The Bible says, his word is true. So I judge every situation in life by his word. The third thing, and we touched on it a little bit last time in this service, and that is I have to know what I'm capable of doing in Christ. Not only knowing who I am, but what am I capable of doing in Christ? Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. What am I capable of doing now that I'm in Christ? All right, verse 23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, what? All things are what? Possible to him that believeth. Now, to get rooted in this, I have to go over this over and over, over and over. I have to say it. I have to read it. I have to saturate my consciousness with this. The Bible says that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So possibilities for you, possibilities for me, are never defined by what others have done or what others have failed to do. What is possible for you has nothing to do with your background. What is possible to you hinges on what you have the capacity to believe. If you can believe it, then it becomes possible for you. It may not be possible for anybody else, but it's possible for you if you can believe it. Now, when God spoke to me and told me to believe for 18,000 members, then 18,000 membership goal was possible for me because I could believe it. Now, all my peers around me said, hey, you crazy, man. Talking about 18,000. I ain't gonna get 18. I ain't never heard no 18,000. Well, it wasn't possible for them. But it was possible for me because I believed it. Just like right now, I believe for a 50,000 membership church. Amen. And I tell y'all, you got to do is keep living. Don't die on me. You keep living. And you will see us have a church of 50,000 members. Amen. So in your own life, you cannot let others talk you out of your dreams because they can't see it. Just because they can't believe it doesn't mean it's not possible for you. If thou canst believe. Oh, I love this. I got to move on because I want to get to my steps today. I got some steps for you. I got 12 things to do when you're in a storm. I got to get to them today. But if thou canst believe, all things are what? Oh, my God. Now that opens up a whole new world, doesn't it? All right, turn with your Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, Philippians chapter 4, here again, I see some awesome things that God says that I can do. All right, verse 13 says, oh, watch this. I can do what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amplified reads this way. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, you have to read that 4 or 5 times to understand that, to get that down into you, that I can do all things. Anything that pertains to my assignment, my purpose, and my responsibilities, I can do it. I can do all things. Now, this causes me to rise above any stereotype that has been put on me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You got to say that to yourself. You got to look at yourself in the mirror. You know, when your mind is telling you and others are telling you, you can't do it. You can't do that. You can't have that. You got to look at it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Driving down the street, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Just because you haven't done it before don't mean you can't do it. Look at the person that says, I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with his strength. My God, that's incredible. That means you can be a good wife. Yes, indeed. You can learn to cook. Now, let's make this thing practical. Put it on down. That way you see, you only want to do the things you want to do. But there's some things that you are supposed to do. That now you have to use the word to be infused to do them. Amen. Yes, indeed. Why y'all don't want to apply the word on that? I said cooking, I ain't getting no amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I'm equal to the task. So I love that. You having difficulty on your job, you understand? You know, catching on to the new system and that sort of thing. I'm equal to the task. That's what you have to tell yourself. That's who you are because you've got the God factor working on the inside of you. Look at the person that says, I'm equal to the task. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I got to take these scriptures and I got to go over them over and over and over. Tell you how to transform your life. When you look at your pastor, you admire your pastor, you admire Dr. Bridget and I, but you got to understand, you know, this didn't happen, you know, without some effort. We put forth the effort to renew our minds. And what God does for one in principle, he must do for another. Otherwise, he's a respecter of persons. So you got to understand that where we are today is a product of the purposeful effort that we put forth. All you got to do is understand that right where you are, you can start the transformation of your mind so that you think on a whole nother level. Amen. See, it doesn't come because somebody lays hands on you and go, ding, and then you wake up. Oh. No. It's by taking this word and going over it day and night. You understand? Day and night. Follow me? That's why I tell people, you're too broke to be listening to jazz now. No, you need to be listening to the word right now. You need to get your mind renewed. Turn the blues off, you know what I'm saying? Verse 20 says, now unto him, we're talking about what I'm capable of doing. I got to renew my mind of what's possible for me. Because you want to dream big, but you can't dream big if you're thinking little, you see? All right, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what? All that we ask or think, according to the what? power that what? Oh my God. He does it, but it's according to the power in you. He'll do the exceedingly abundantly above, but it's all according to the power that's working in you. He needs you to do the exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask and think. So that means God will cause you to function at a whole nother level where you've not been trained, where you've not, have had any training, any exposure, but God's able to cause you to function at a whole nother level. And he'll do it because he's inside of you. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, that way you're not intimidated by dreams. So you can get some dreams that are really intimidating, you understand? Because you don't know how you're going to do it. It's just almost seem, wow, how in the world? But you got to understand, there's a power that's working in you. No, it's not something you can feel. It don't make you feel chill bumps. You don't be jerking. No. But it's the power. It's something on the inside in my spirit that causes me to function at a whole nother conscious level. My God. Amen. So I can't live a low life. Can't live a low life. No, because I got this power that God has released. Look at the Amplified. Amplified says this way. Now to him who, by in consequence of and the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Ooh. See, you have to read that over and over and over until that sinks down on the inside of you that, wow. I mean, you need to go, wow. Now some of y'all look at me like a cow look at a new gig, like, what is wrong with him? He had read that scripture, and he read that scripture, then he started going off. I'm telling you, baby, this is something to go off on. This is the God factor working in your life. This is what causes you to do things you thought you could never do and do them with such ease. And everybody, and everybody looks at you and marvel, but you know it's according to this power working in you. That's what keeps your head on straight. All right, one other passage. Turn with your Bibles now to John 14. John 14. What am I capable of doing? My God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Verse 12, this is Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Ooh, my God, love that. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Oh, my God. So he says, look, so we can do greater works than Jesus did. And he says we can do them because he goes to the Father. So when we talk about working in the kingdom of God, we got to understand that he said we could do greater works. So I got to believe that I can do greater works, that together we can do greater works. Why? Because he said so. So no kingdom assignment overwhelms me, because Jesus says I could do greater works. Amen. So I just believe it. So it may not be something that somebody else has done. I'm not intimidated because he said we'd do greater. In other words, that's a whole other dimension God wants to take us to in the work of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Just think of it. Your church has a satellite network system. We have the capability of standing in this one place and putting the gospel anywhere on the planet. Ooh, that's, ain't nobody happy but me. No, serious. We have the capability of standing in one place and being able to preach the gospel all over the globe. That's just, my God. That's serious. Big brother said, that's serious. You understand, CNN can do it. But the people of God that you're in fellowship with can do it too. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That we have the capability. If we wanted to go live in Africa, we could do it. We wanted to go live in Canada, we could do it. From this spot. Isn't that serious? That's serious to me. You know how Channel 13, Channel 2, Channel 11, Channel 26, Channel 39, I didn't go anywhere and broadcast that stuff live? So can we? We have our own truck. We can take the truck anywhere we want to, and from that spot, be live. Amen. I mean, so when we talk about kingdom work that none have ever done before, we don't get intimidated. He said we can do greater works. My God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Now, because I want to finish. All right. So, who I am in Christ, commitment, God's faithfulness to his word, keep his word, what I'm capable of doing, and then number four, the fourth thing, is understanding God's commitment to me. God's commitment to me. All right? Turn to Psalms 34. Understand his commitment to protect me, his commitment to provide for me, his commitment to promote me, his commitment to reward my perseverance. All right, Psalms 34. Remember now, repetition is the key. It's not going to just come by osmosis. You reading it one time and looking at me and go, oh, man, he ended that, ain't he? He ended that. You need to get into this, too. There's a whole nother lifestyle God has for you. But there's a price to pay for it. Psalms 34, look at verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, my God. Angels around me. Isn't that good to know? Angels around your house. Yes, they are. Angels are all around your house, all around your car. Amen. The angels of the Lord are encamped around about you. So you have to tell yourself that, you understand? That you're not alone, see? Angels are all around you. You have no need to fear. You have no need to be alarmed. Angels all around you. Amen. Look there in verse 17. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of what? Oh, you have to underline that. How many of your troubles? So if you got any trouble, God can get you out of it. Amen. Turn with me your Bibles now to Psalms 55. Psalms 55. He makes a commitment. He will provide for me. He will provide for me. Amen. All right. Verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall what? I love that. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Verse 22 in the Amplified. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or what? Ooh, I love that. Or fail. That's God's commitment to you. See, you need to tell yourself that. When the devil's trying to tell you, you're going to fail. You're going under. It ain't going to work. You have to open that word and just tell yourself, no. This is what the Lord has. I'll cast my burden upon the Lord. And the word of God says, he will sustain me. Not only will he sustain me, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Then you go into the Amplified and read that a couple of times. I'm telling you. See, when you hear the word of God, it ministers to your spirit. So your spirit being, and it ministers to your spirit. Just like when you eat food. Now, I know I'm being real simple because some of my veteran saints going, we know that. Everybody don't know what you know. And if I wasn't simple when you came here, you wouldn't know it. You know, some of my veterans look at me like, oh, come on, Pastor. Everybody know that. No, they don't. So just like when you eat food, there's this sense of, you know, satisfaction when you eat. So it is when you go take the Word of God and read it over and over. There's this peace that settles in your heart, comes over your life. And there's no substitute for it. You can't get this out of a pill. Can't get this out of a bout. Only through the ministry of the Word of God. Watch this. Turn from your Bibles now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Foundation is important, because I get the foundation. When it comes to the steps, I'm ready to do the steps. Are y'all ready for your steps? All right. Verse 9, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm what? Strong." Now, he gives you grace for any situation you're in. He gives you grace for any situation you're in. Let me read part of this out of the Amplified, because it's just so powerful when you read it out of the Amplified. All right, verse 10 says, "So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecution, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength." So I got to understand that my dependence in a weak state, when I feel weak, my dependence is on the greater one. And I become, when I'm weak in myself and realize my dependence is on God, it is then that I'm strengthened, because I am not dependent on human reasoning, human logic, my past, or my past wit to get me through. I'm totally dependent on God. So I'm strong because I'm dependent on one greater than myself. So for any situation you're in, he has made the provision of grace. And I don't want you to discount the grace, that word grace. I mean, that's a powerful thing. That's the favor of God. So he says, "I'll strengthen you to face whatever you're facing." Man, that's God's commitment to you. And God won't lie. I know there's some situations you would rather not face, rather not be in. But they don't have to cause you to be in depression. You don't have to go into fear. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown, because you have an entitlement to the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, all right, all right. Now, turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me give you 12 things to do to get through your storm. 12 things to do to get through your storm. Since we know of course, I could go on many other scriptures about getting rooted in the Word of God and getting your mind renewed. But these four factors: knowing who you are in Christ, faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of His Word, understanding what you're capable of doing, and then knowing God's commitment to you, that He's committed to you. He's committed to you. And nothing can separate you from the commitment that God has to you. That's you understand. God has a commitment. Others may fail you, but He will never fail you. He has this commitment. And you got to really renew your mind, because you cannot put God in the same category you put man in. He rewards your perseverance. You know, Paul says, "I press toward the mark," because he knew he'd be rewarded. It says, you know, "You will reap in due season if you faint not." Don't give up. Look, person, don't give up. See, the Bible says, "You'll reap in due season if you faint not." And so a lot of folks work hard, 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 and then right before victory comes, they quit. When you tired, the devil tired too. Don't just outlast him. Amen. Amen. Don't quit. That's what the Bible says. "You will reap in due season if you faint." Fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, that gives us the tone and tenor of that is that God said, "Look, you got to be willing to stand on this thing. You got to be willing to put forth effort. Can't be no sissy." Yeah, try to be nice, because my young people in here. You know, oh, hallelujah. Now, 10 things to do. 12. Okay. Number one, don't fear. Don't panic. That's the first thing. You get some disheartening news, first thing that happened, fear grips your heart. Don't fear. Don't take it. They said, "Well, what do you mean don't take it?" See, the Bible says, Jesus says in the Gospel of John 14:1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, so you got something to do with it. You have control over whether or not you get in fear or not. When Jesus had ministered, he was on his way to Jairus' house to minister to his daughter. Then he was stopped there by the woman with the issue of blood who touched his garment and turned around and gave her a testimony. You know, Jairus standing there going, we need to go. Baby's sick, need to go. You know, and the lady there testified, you know, about her blood condition. Jairus going, hey, we need to go, you know. And then right after the lady finished testifying, somebody come from Jairus' house and say, hey, Jairus, just leave Jesus alone because your daughter dead. Jesus turned toward him and said, fear not, only believe. Greek for that says, don't panic. Don't panic. Look at the person and say, don't panic. I mean, you get that note in the mail, don't panic. You get that phone call, don't panic. Your faith cannot operate in an environment of fear, so you got to choose not to fear. That's a choice. It's a choice. See, when you're rooted in the Word of God, the first thing you began to do is you began to respond based on the Word, what the Word says. Your flesh wants to respond, but the Word of God, you're so rooted in it, the Word of God says, the Spirit of God says, you know what we're supposed to do what the Word says. Don't panic. Number two, all right? Remind yourself of God's commitment to you. Hallelujah. Now, that means you have to take some time to go remind yourself to God's commitment. You know, pull out the Word of God. All right, look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted, try to test it, above that you are able, and will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to. My God. Amplified. No temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. There is no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted, tried, or assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that ye may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Woo! So what I got to do, I got to understand this. God wouldn't let me be in this if I couldn't handle it. That's the Ivy Hill, you paraphrase of that whole scripture. That God will never let you be in a situation that you are right now unable to handle. If you were unable to handle it, he wouldn't let you be in it. Because the Bible says he will never allow you to be tempted above that you're able. So whatever you're going through, in the fact that you're born again, living a righteous life, and that you're facing it, God says, I know you can handle it. I would never let you be in it if you didn't have the wherewithal to come through it on top. My God, that's, you have to remind yourself. You have to remind yourself that this is the Word of God, and this is what's true. I don't care if you know 10 other folk who faced what you faced and didn't make it. You are the consistently righteous, and this is your commitment. Hallelujah. If you couldn't handle it, you wouldn't be in it. Because my commitment to God is, God says, I'll never let you face anything that I've not equipped you already to handle it. Number three, don't trust the flesh. Find wisdom. Find the wisdom of God for direction. Proverbs 3 and 5. Turn there with me. Proverbs 3. Don't trust your flesh. Don't trust your flesh. Find out what God's word says. When you're in a situation for that problem, that trial, or test, you go with what the word says. All right? Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and then do what? Lean not to thine own understanding, or to Cornelius' understanding, or Uncle Bobo's understanding, or Winika's understanding. I gotta find out what the word. Now that's why you need a good church. Because you can always, if you can't find out what the word of God says in your situation, that is why we have the staff. You can call membership services, have them talk with the minister, talk with a person, so they can tell you this is what God's word says about this situation. That's why we have the tape ministry. In the coming days, going to really provide more space, because if you're going through something, I've already taught on it. I'm saying, no matter what you're going through, I have taught a lesson on it. You can get that lesson. You can get the word of God, and you can go with God's word, because you want the wisdom of God. You don't want any man's opinion, and you don't want to let your flesh tell you what to do. Where am I now? Number four, choose not to magnify the storm over God's ability. Or it may look dark, but you got a bigger God. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Or it may look dark. I agree with you. They give me 3 days to get out of my house, Pastor, and I ain't got the money. What am I going to do? You don't get out of town if you don't have the money. But that ain't the end of life. All these other houses out here. No, if your faith don't manifest the note, you're going to have to move. You don't want to stay in no four houses and not pay them. That is not the end of the world. Don't let the devil tell you it's the end of the world. See, you didn't want to hear that part. You want me to talk about the miracle that's going to come. Well, your miracle may not come that way, but it's not the end of the world. And I'm not saying that to kill your faith. I'm telling you that, hey, if it doesn't come the way you want it to come, it's still not the end of the world. Oh, yes, we would love for somebody to walk up and say, oh, your house note is 3 months behind. Here is the check. God spoke to me. Well, what if they don't? Bless God, you want to believe for favor at the mortgage company or whoever you owe? If they don't extend favor there, you want to find favor somewhere else? But it's not the end of the world. Verse 5, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I am not going to magnify a storm over God's ability to bring me out. Mm-mm. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Bible says, nothing's too hard for God. Ooh, I love it. Nothing's too hard. Look at the person that say, nothing's too hard for God. I say, I'm happy all by myself today, but that's all right. You're going to need this table. You go through your storm, you're plopping in, you'll be happy with Pastor one of these days. Nothing's too, see, you're looking at a man who's been through some storms. See, you just didn't know it because, you know, I look at what the Word of God says. You never know when I'm going through anything because I don't never let you see it. You don't never see it because I don't never magnify. And the maps. Yeah. But you don't ever let something else be magnified over what God's word says. But that's something you have to do. You know, when the enemy rushes into your thought life like a flood, you know, telling you, oh, no, this don't happen. Oh, but my God's bigger. So you have to counter that. You have to open your mind. My God's bigger than that. All right, that takes me to number what? Number 5, confess your promised victory and not the problem. We call things that be not as though they were. So instead of putting your mouth in agreement with the problem, you're going to put your mouth in agreement with what God's word says. I'm coming through this victoriously because I got a promise from God. That's better than sitting around going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know. I just don't know. You have to tell yourself, I know what you're going to do. You're going to work this word and see victory. That's what you're going to do. See? And you don't wait for somebody else to come encourage you. See, even going to people won't be feel sorry. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just go, you don't know what. No. You don't. You're going to look yourself in the mirror, your own self. See? And you're going to tell yourself, look, this is what you're going to do. Now, look, quit all that crying. Ain't no time to cry right now. You cry later. But right now, you got to work the word. So look, dry your eyes up and let's get into this word and let's get some victory going on around here. No, that's what you have to do. One of my pastors, he passed, one of the pastors that, you know, who submit themselves to us in a way, he went on to be with the Lord. And, you know, his wife called and she's crying and everything. I said, all right, baby, you cry a little bit, but, you know, ain't time to really cry right now. Too much is at stake. It's too much at stake right now. You can start crying and lose everything your husband built. Now it's time to maximize the word you've been taught. So next Sunday, you preaching. I am? I said, yes, you are. See, I mean, when you got the victorious mentality. Now, she's already a preacher. I ain't calling her in the gospel. I ain't calling her. I'm just telling her it's time now to be strong, maximize that word. You all sitting here on this word, got your Bibles all colored up and tapes and all that kind of stuff, and then you get in trouble. It's time to maximize that word now. That's what it's time to do. It's time to see this stuff work. All right. Number what? Number six, get help from those who have mastered storms. The Bible says, Hebrews 6 and 12, we follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Don't you go to somebody who's failed to get to me. You know, I know you got put out and they're about to put me out too. No, you want to find somebody who has mastered the storm. You want to find somebody who's been victorious. You don't want to go get with a bunch of failures. That's why. I say it guardedly, but that's why sometimes, you know, especially you fighting for your life, you don't need to get in a support group with folk who want to die. You don't need to be in a support group of folk who planning to die. No, all them planning around, they on there planning their funeral and they kind of flowers they want. You trying to live. You trying to live out the balance of your days and claim your right for God to satisfy you with long life, and you fighting for your life. You don't need to be around a bunch of folk who ready to die. My God, you get yourself, look, I got to get on up out of here, y'all. Y'all ain't talking my kind of talk. There's a power of agreement that takes place. When a person knows where you are and has been where you are and has come through victoriously. See, I can agree with you about a whole bunch of stuff because I've been there. See, I can agree with you for victory. You name it, I probably done had it. Yes, it is. Car repossessed, been there. Lights turned off, been there. Given a notice to move, been there. But it wasn't over yet. Came through it. Glory to God. I got to finish my lesson. How many more I got? I got four more to go, right? Where am I number one? No, I got more, six. Oh, hurry up. Number one. Number seven. All right. Choose to exercise your faith to steal the storm. In other words, it's time for you to start speaking. That's what Jesus was trying to get the disciples to say. All right. Faith comes by what? Hearing. But faith is released how, saints? By the word, it's time for you to start speaking to situations. You look at your body and say, look, you're going to line up with the word of God. Kidneys, you're going to function like God designed you to function. Walk through that house that you've been raised in. Oh, we got to be nice. Be nice. But we all been have confusion and problems. And you walk through that and speak peace. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Roshi, prada kashete la boboshe. Ena nukusho pratata. You speaking to your situation. Pull that wallet out that ain't got no money in it. Just put it, it ain't got a thing, and you ain't got nothing to lose. And you say, I speak thousands into you for the kingdom of God. Thousands for me. Thousands. You ain't got no money now. It ain't going to hurt.
I mean, that's better than saying, I'm just so broke. I just don't know why. No. Take that old empty wallet out and say, I declare thousands in the kingdom of God. You're talking to a boy who did that. What you got? You got nothing to lose, right? I mean, in the midst of your lack, in the midst of everybody, I mean, I'm telling you, you got to begin to speak to it. Bible says, and it shall obey you. Hallelujah. Number what? Number eight. Rid yourself of every hindrance and every faith thief that's around you. Now, when I'm talking about rid yourself, the greatest faith thief is not somebody outside of you, but the greatest faith thief is the offense that you will take during the faith process. Ooh, got to hear that. Got to hear that. That when you take offense, it kills your faith. You know what I mean by taking offense? When somebody's done you wrong and you want to get them back, that's the greatest faith thief, when you're in unforgiveness. So in the midst of your storm, you start searching yourself, making sure you're not holding on to some offense, because that kills your faith. And God talked to me about that, boy, this year. Talked to me about that. Had several persecutions come against me. Heavy, hot and heavy. My God, I wanted to fight back. Ooh, I wanted to fight. I want to fight. My upbringing is one of violence. I said, God told me, he said, look, what's at stake is not your reputation. What's at stake is your faith. You get over here into unforgiveness and over here taking offense, it cancels out your faith. I said, well, yes, all you had to do, tell me that once. I got too much. You know, I'm working on in faith. My whole life is a product of faith. I can't have anything interfering with my faith. Amen. Number what? Where am I? Number nine. All right, number nine. Know that the love of Jesus is going to get you through the storm. Now, that's how sometimes you have to, you know, my little favorite song, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Oh, I just love that song. Sometimes you have to sing that because you don't think nobody loves you, nobody cares about you. You know, your husband ain't looking at the bills like you looking at him. You know, he come in and say, you know, because we men, we operate on a total different level. You understand? We feel when things ain't going right, we feel blame. Don't care if we weren't to blame, we feel blame. So, you know, we have a protective mode many times where we won't, you know, we won't indulge as much as our wives want us to indulge. You know, they want us to pull our hair out and, oh, understand, you know, we'll make, you know. So, you know, here your husband, he's not showing as much interest as you want to show. I'm trying to show you these bits. Well, you already showed them to me. I already saw them once, you understand? But you want to just plow through them again. You understand? So now the devil say, he don't even love you either. Your mama didn't love you. Your daddy didn't love you. Your brother and sister didn't love you. And now your husband don't love you. Children don't love you. I mean, so you got to go back and soothe this man. Oh, how he loved. Oh, God, you love me. You're not going to let me be by myself. Every need that I have, you're able to supply. How many of you would see your child in a storm and wouldn't help him? Everybody in here would. God sees you in your storm. Look. You may not know all the scriptures, but I'm telling you, if you can hold on to the love of God, you're going to get through that storm. Look, the whole reason the disciples went to Jesus, because they knew he cared. And you got to understand, in the midst of your storm, Jesus still loves you. Oh, my God. Woo, hallelujah. All right, number what? Number 10. Trust God to bring you and others through the storm. Now, don't forget about other folk. Now, the Bible says God turned, Job 42, says God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. In the midst of your storm, find somebody else who's going through a storm and you pray for them. Because scripture says what you make happen for others, God's make happens for you. So what you do is you start praying for somebody else going through a storm. Amen. Number 11. Put on patience. Don't give up, because you're going to make it through the storm. Storm may not subside as soon as you want it to, as fast as you want it to, but it's going to end. It's going to cease. And you are coming out on top. And you have to remind yourself of that in the midst of it. May not look like it. Got it? But Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen, the promises of God, they are eternal. And folks start looking at you, you know, sad. Just tell me they're over yet. They're over yet. Keep that victorious attitude. It ain't over yet. My God, even if you have to go get one of your car from one of those Tote Note lots, because they pick up your car, you understand? You're going through a financial storm. You drive that old Tote Note car, but that's all right, it ain't over yet. Oh, glory to God. It ain't over yet. That's the victorious attitude. It ain't over yet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, we were over in the Crown Park Plaza there where our office complex is now. And the original owner lost the building. He lost it. We were renting from, we were leasing at that time. And he lost the building to the RTC. Remember way back then when all the banks were failing, savings and loans? He lost the building to the RTC. And RTC did not want us to be in that building. And they tried to put us out. We sent them our payments, and they sent it back to us. They said they didn't believe they could sell it to anybody with a church building name, though we were the major tenant. They tried to put us out. They sent a man one day to put a lock on the door. I remember I was driving my little car. They called me and said, Pastor, the man is here to put a lock on the door. Turned my car around. I got out of my car, and you're talking about clowned him big time? It's trying to intimidate us. They had no right to do it, you see. And I knew they had no right to do it, see. But it's trying to intimidate us. And I told them, go get the cameras. And I told them, I said, go on, lock it. I said, you lock it, I'll own your company. Don't lock it. I'll own your company. I said, somebody put you up to do this, and they don't know the trouble they're putting you in. The guy got nervous. And then he went and called somebody on the phone, and they told me that they did not have a right to do that. That they did not have a right to do that. And he went to, you know, take them off. He had to go take the lock. Boy, you talking about clowning big time. Take them off. Wasn't over. Now today we own the place. Glory to God. Amen. I kind of saw some victory rising up in here. Look at the person next to you. It ain't over yet. All right. I'm out of number 12 now. Rely on the power of God to strengthen you as you wait for change. Bible says the joy of the Lord is my what? My God. So what I'm going to do in the midst of it, look, I'm going to be praising God, thanking God for the victory, because I know victory is on its way. Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me tell you something about an eagle. The Bible says that an eagle has the ability to lock his wings a certain way. And he doesn't run away from the wind, but he faces the wind. And it's the wind that catches him and causes him to rise higher. Same thing that happens when we get ready to take off in the jet. I always notice they don't always take off the same way, because in order to get the maximum lift, they have to be facing the wind. And the stronger the wind, the better. So you got to understand, when the winds of adversity come, I'm an eagle. Hey, I'm coming out of this. When I come out of this, I'm going to come out of it at a higher level, higher maturity. And I got to stop, because I'm higher out of time.